obviously you have to have longevity to reach that mark, and have to have a lot of success as over 833 wins now in your career.
Yeah, well, you're right about two things. Certainly you need age. I'm getting old. But, you know, I think the other thing that's probably the leading factor is, looking back, I've been extremely fortunate to have some real good hockey players and some real good teams. And it's, you know, it's a tribute to those players that I'm even in position to break this record. So I remember starting 23 years ago, and the thought of passing Don Phelps was probably something I would have laughed at that time. It's funny how time flies, and now you look at it, and, you know, one of the coaching legends and still the guy I consider to be the best coach in AJHL history. Now my name's up with him, and I'm extremely fortunate, and it's gratifying, certainly.
Now, Gord, I know you're not one for individual accolades, but the fact that it happens in Fort McMurray, a place that you coached for a long time, had a lot of success, and in dramatic overtime fashion, did it have a little extra special feel for you when you won that game?
No question. I mean, you know, we always talk as coaches about the hockey gods, and, you know, there's certainly some fate in hockey, and there had to be hockey gods guiding this, you know, kind of putting us in position to have the record there. The team went on an incredible run, you know, 9 or 10 in a row to put me in that position. And, you know, if there was ever a place you were going to break it outside of home, obviously you'd love to do it in your home rink. But Fort McMurray, where, you know, half of my wins were accumulated and 11 great years there. And then having my best friend Tom Keck on the other bench was certainly, it was a special moment. And there were some, you know, it was such a tightly played game, then to win it in overtime in the last 30 seconds on a 2-1-0 breakaway, which you don't often see, was fitting, I guess. You know, if I could have drawn it up, I couldn't have drawn it up any better than that, frankly.
Gord, you said time flies, and I smiled. When I got to Edmonton in 89, you were playing hockey for Bill Moores with the Alberta Golden Bears. And then your health took a turn, of course, as everybody knows. But go back there. At what point did you sit down and think, you know what, I think I might be able to be a pretty good coach in this game? Because there are good players who never coach and very mediocre players who become very good coaches. When did it happen for you?
You know, I think it was probably towards the latter, maybe the third, fourth year of being at the U of A playing. Billy and Claire Drake were so instrumental in setting a philosophy and a foundation for all the kids, not just myself, but anyone that played under them, that I actually thought it would be easy. I thought, geez, I'm just going to take their knowledge and steal it and impart it. And it's only when I started coaching that I realized, oh, boy, there's a lot more work involved than just, you know, taking the great ideas of two great men. So it took me a little while to figure out my own style, my own, you know, way to impart that philosophy. But I think when I was at the U of A, that certainly was the first time I started thinking about coaching. And credit to both Bill and Claire. They were very adamant that the players give something back to the hockey community. And that's one of the things I loved about the program. We were supposed to share the knowledge. And you know, I still remember finishing my fourth year and sitting in that office and Billy Moore saying, you know, Gord, I think if you have a chance to coach, you should try to give something back. And that's how it all started. And 23 years later, you know, I saw Bill on the weekend and reminded him that there's been a lot of great days in coaching because of that advice. And there's been the odd day where I've cursed his name also, but a lot more times than not, it's been a great life.
Gord Thibodeau joins us, head coach of the Whitecourt Wolverines. Last week became the winningest head coach in AJHL history. Now has over 835 career wins. And your team's having a good season right now. You and the Oil Barons battling for first place. You've got 78 points in Whitecourt. The Oil Barons have 79 with about 10 games to go in the season. The North is always tight. The Saints can never overlook them. They've been dominant for quite some time. Gorgeous. You mentioned how your team went on a real big run recently. What's been the cause for so much success recently for your team?
Well, I think we're starting to believe. I think Whitecourt's had some good teams in the past, but it's kind of playoff success has eluded them a little bit, and it's not like it is in maybe Fort McMurray or Spruce where you have a history of success, and it seems to the expectation builds upon itself each year. It's a culture that we're trying to get to that point. So I think the guys have had a very good season, but they're starting to believe that there's a possibility of them, winning the North Division. I think it's wide open this year. I certainly think there's four or five teams that could win it, but a large part of that is just the confidence of understanding that you're as good as anybody else and taking that swagger out onto the ice. And that's been something that, has been a little hit and miss this year, but certainly been there for the last month.
Gord, when you try and develop that with a group, if you have it a long reign of success, go back to your days with the U of A or your various stops in the AJ, you can say it, you can try and get that buy-in, but as a coach, can you actually see it finally sink in when the players start to believe that we're as good as anybody, we can compete? Is that a real long-term thing that to get the players to really believe?
It is. It's not something that you can do in a week or two. It takes, we've been pounding away at them mentally and, trying to make sure that they understand. We're big believers, and certainly the U of A program, the philosophy that if you do the little things right, the results will take care of themselves. And it's hard to tell kids that are 16 to 20 years old that, listen, just do all these little things right, and at the end of the day, we'll look up the scoreboard and we'll be okay. They don't have quite the same faith level, of course, because they haven't experienced it. So it's a never-ending battle where you're constantly trying to remind them that, little things, that when we don't give up a power play goal against, we win 95% of our games. When we score first, we win 80%. So, you start to use the analytics a little bit mentally so that they start to understand what's important and how important some of these little things are. And as you go through a season, you start to see glimmers, streaks where the belief is outstanding, and then you lose two or three in a row, and it seems like you're dealing again with a fragile 17-year-old who thinks he's never going to score. So it's a constant roller coaster ride. But you do see signs of it over the season, and like I said, I've been very pleased with what I've seen in the last month. It's telling me that they're getting to the point where they're believing they're an elite team, and you have to have that confidence going into playoffs.
Gord Thibodeau joins us. Gord, with that much success in your career, a lot of people wonder, why never go to the next level? Like, I know, I remember lots of times you had conversations with teams, the WHL obviously would have been the highest level there, and then go up to pro. What stopped you from ever taking a chance at those levels?
I don't know that it was ever a real consideration, to be honest.
Okay.
Once I had, with my health troubles, and then, I had a young daughter at that time, it really just family-wise, I didn't want to be in a position. I'd seen so many coaches that pursuing that dream that jumped around and lived in five or six or seven different communities, and it wasn't something that I wanted to do. I moved my daughter once to Lloydminster. When we had to move back, she was 3 years old when we moved there. When we had to move back when she was seven to St. Albert, it was a traumatic event for her. And I remember her sitting on my lap saying, "Daddy, I don't want to move again." And that really was it. From that point forward, we decided that St. Albert would be our base, that she would grow up in that community and not have to move, and that I would travel and try to stay as close to Edmonton area as possible. And I've been fortunate to have a great career. And the other simple answer, I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm not in this for self-gratification. I'm in this for trying to do the right things for players, try to move them forward. I don't need to have the letters pro behind my name. It's not important to me. I enjoy what I'm doing. I think I'm good at it. And I believe that if you can impact players, not everyone's meant to be a pro coach. There has to be other guys down the line that do their jobs, and I'm happy with that.
Well, Gord, I think it's fantastic. I know it was tough on your family a bit when you went up to Fort Mac because your wife and daughter stayed in St. Albert. And for any father out there, I'm sure there were days you were like, man, I got to quit this. You know, you're missing your daughter's dance recitals or something like that. So there's definitely a lot of sacrifice that rarely gets talked about. So congratulations to you on a great record. And hopefully the next one is 1,000 for you and continued success.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much for having me on.